These lines from the song that you just heard bring back such vivid memories for me. I still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you loved me, would never leave me, and I have never been the same. It's a vivid picture in my mind as we sing those songs that just floods over me of a little country church somewhere around the campus of Virginia Tech. I don't know where it is, and I've never tried to go back and find it. Maybe someday I might try, but I remember going to a revival that night with a revival speaker, and I remember God calling my name very clearly and telling me, I love you. And I definitely remember going up and kneeling at the altar and praying the prayer, asking Jesus to be my Savior. I remember it very clearly, and it has such vivid pictures for me. And that probably was in 1981. Just powerful, powerful image. And every time we sing that song, it just floods over me. And I hope you can go back and remember the day that you made your commitment, if you have, to Jesus Christ, asking Him to be your Savior. Because as I understand scriptures, without that, you don't come to God. Jesus says, I am the only way. I am the only way. John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's the only way. And I'll never change my preaching of that. But I hope you'll listen to the sermon today because I got something to add to that that could be helpful. I'm going to read two verses from Philippians chapter 4. It's going to be verses 8 and 9. And we're just going to stick with those two verses because I really think I probably could preach a month, 2 months, 6 months worth of sermons off of just these two verses. Listen to this word of God. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. I've got to be a little bit of confessional here because if you were in Principles of Faith this morning, Tommy already preached my sermon. In 1 minute. Now I want to add some details to what the sermon that Tommy preached this morning, because I think that will be helpful. But really, as we talk this morning in Principles of Faith downstairs, we meet at 9 o'clock. Tommy already hit the major point of this sermon. Already hit it. And then I want to be a little bit more confessional. Because someone else said, well, we know it's much easier to do some things that run on parallel tracks versus two different things. And we know that there's a connection between the principles of faith time and your sermon. Well, I've got to be confessional to let you know that 4 months ago, when I picked out these two verses to preach on, I always pick things out 4 months in advance so that Jerry and the choir and Kathy have time to put things together that go along with the scripture text for that Sunday. 4 months ago, when I picked this scripture out to preach on this day, I had no idea what we would be doing in Principles of Faith on that morning, because I had not even found the video series that we have been watching on Sunday mornings 4 months ago. So here's what I want to tell you. Some folks would say, Pastor, how can you pick out something 4 months in advance to preach on? And I can say this: God works at all times, in all ways, even months in advance of what needs to happen. Amen. So how did this scripture fall on the same day that we're in Principles of Faith, talking about praying to God and about centering on good and trustworthy and wonderful things to ponder? That was only by God's design. It was not by mine. I don't want you to think I'm that intelligent. It was by God's design that these things came together for this day. In your mind, all of us have lots of conversations going on in our mind all the time. And if you don't have lots of conversations going on in your mind, will you please make an appointment with me and explain to me how to keep that from happening? Because some of you have heard me say this, there's always about 12 trains running in my mind all at the same time, fortunately on different tracks most of the time. And they're running in multiple different directions. And not all of them deal with Scripture. Not all of them deal with my relationship with God. I love to work word puzzles and number puzzles. And that's going on in my head right now, even as I'm preaching, trying to figure out some of the puzzles I'm working on. It's all happening all at once. Now, I know some of you go, boy, that's awful chaotic. And that's why I want to say, if that doesn't happen for you, because there's probably somebody right now thinking about what you need to buy at the grocery store. And I'm just going to ask you, why are you thinking about that? You should be paying attention to the sermon. There's somebody who's thinking about what they're going to be doing this afternoon and how they have to be prepared for it. Right? And I won't pick any names, but I can if you want me to. I mean, we have things going on in our mind. And Paul comes to the Philippian church. Now remember also, as he writes these words, he's in jail, most likely chained up to two soldiers, because he's been known to find a way to escape. So now he's chained up to two soldiers, and he's writing this letter. I don't imagine that the cell that he was staying in was a room at the Greenbrier. I don't imagine that. I imagine it was dirty, and that it was smelly, that it was very moist and mold and mildew and who knows what scattering across the floor. And he writes and he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely. He encourages them to think about and ponder the most excellent things in life. To think about and ponder. Have you ever pondered? I know Jerry loves when I use that word, because he come to me laughing sometime going, oh, I've been pondering this afternoon. Don't make the mistake of asking him what he was pondering, okay? Yeah, because he'll tell you. And sometime he was pondering why he didn't hear something, and then he realizes that one of the batteries in his hearing aid's gone dead, which I think is what happened this week. By if you were there during our prayer time, that's definitely what happened this week, wasn't it, brother? Amen. Because Tommy shared all about a situation and whatnot, and about his daughter and what she's doing and what's going on. And his 15 minutes later, after Tommy finished, Jerry looked at him and said, "How's your daughter?" And we all looked at Jerry like, "Where have you been?" I'm not talking about that kind of pondering. I'm talking about the pondering where you stick with something for a little bit. You stay with something for a piece. And Paul says, you do this with the things that are true, that are noble, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable. Stick with those things. Ponder them. Think about them. Keep them on your mind. And I know many of you are going, "Yeah, Pastor, that's what you keep telling us. We need to get scriptures in our mind, and we need to keep those scriptures on our mind, and we need to keep them fresh so that we can ponder and we can think about them." I want you to know that the words that Paul uses here, his descriptive list uses the same words that secular scholars in his day would use. The same words that secular scholars would use in his day. Same words. And here's what I want to tell you. No matter what you pick up, no matter what you look at, in the midst of that is God's truth. And God can bring to you from that an incredible thing. This morning, I had people during our Principles of Faith time, before they sat down, pick up a picture. I'd cut a bunch of pictures out of some magazines at random, and I set them on the table, and I asked everybody to pick one up as they came in, one that struck your fancy. And as we got to the end of our time, I said, "I'm going to pray now for the Holy Spirit to show you why you picked that picture up, and what is the Holy Spirit and God trying to help you understand by the picture that you picked up." Some of the things that people described about God, about the Holy Spirit, about their relationship with God, from a picture that they basically picked up at random, was powerful. And if you weren't there, I'm sorry that you missed that, because I asked people to share what is God trying to say through the picture you picked up. And people heard something from God just by a random picture that I cut out of a magazine and that they sat and looked at for about 6 minutes. You see, Paul is saying you need to ponder on all of those things in life. You need to ponder, and you need to look at them, and you need to consider them. And what is God trying to say to you? Because within all of life, there are true and valuable items to think about and ponder. Did you know that you could take your morning newspaper? Not that most of us get a morning newspaper anymore because they're too expensive, number one. And number two, sometimes the newspaper's not worth it, in my opinion, anymore. But you can actually take your morning newspaper and use it for your prayer time. You can go from article to article praying for the situations in each one of those articles. When you see pictures on the news, instead of just being offended by what picture it might be because of the details that are in the picture, why not pray for the person in the picture? Why not stop right then and ponder what they're going through and what's happening and how God might want you to pray for them? Because you can change their life by praying for them. You see, there are trustworthy and valuable things in all of life. We can learn from those, and we can take those in, and we can ponder those, and we can think about them. What does that mean for my relationship with God? You've heard me tell this story before, but I was sitting on the campus while I was in seminary. I think I was between classes, just sitting there by myself. And I watched this poor little squirrel run from place to place to place to place to place to place to place, digging holes, never burying anything, and never digging anything up. And I watched it for quite a while. And I sat there thinking, you know, I feel sorry for you because, one, you're not digging anything up. Two, you're not burying anything. All you're really doing is wasting your time. And as soon as I said that, I heard God say, not in an audible voice, but within me, I knew it was God that was speaking. And God said, Tim, why do you run from place to place and never really accomplish anything? It made me look at that squirrel a little bit differently. It taught me an incredible truth about my life. It taught me an incredible truth about what God was trying to help me understand at that point in my life, that I was running from place to place, trying to accomplish this and trying to do this and trying to do this and trying to do this, and I never was really accomplishing anything. I wasn't digging anything up, and I wasn't burying anything. Just by watching a squirrel. And Paul's saying, was that not truth that the squirrel was teaching me? By taking a moment to see what the squirrel was doing, was that not truth that God was trying to get me to understand for my life? You see, my first year of seminary, I had not been in school for 12 years. And I didn't know if I could make it. Because pretty much in seminary, you got to keep a B average to stay there. So my first year in seminary, I put myself in the hospital with almost heart problems. Because I was running from place to place to place to place. And God wanted to tell me, you need to slow down. And I'll tell you the funny part about slowing down. Let's see, our children would have been, all under the age of 7 at that time. And the doctor told me, he said, you need to learn how to slow down. And God was also telling me that. So one day I was just sitting on our front porch, attempting to slow down, not trying to accomplish anything, doing my very best to sit there and do nothing. My son was riding his bike around the house, my oldest son, 6 or 7, I'm guessing he would have been. And my daughter came out and sat next to me and she said, Dad, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just sitting here, Amy, watching the world go round. And here come Josh on his bike to ride by again. And she said, Dad, look, there goes the world. And I started to learn that the world can rotate without me. And that I can slow down and ponder things. And I can find the good and the true and the lovely and the admirable in all of life. And Paul takes it one step further. Paul asked them to follow his example by putting what they saw in him into practice. Now, sometimes we read the book of Acts and we read Paul's letters and we go, man, this is a guy that lived at a whirlwind, moving from place to place and sharing the gospel and talking here and talking there. I hope sometime you will sit down and actually pay attention to how much time evolves. Because after Paul came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, he went in the wilderness for 3 years to study before he did anything. He stayed in the town of Ephesus for 3 years, establishing and building that church. And that's why he writes the book of Ephesians to them. Because he has a heart for them. He's been there for 3 years with them. He was not just a traveling evangelist. He spends time. And as you read Paul's writing, you find that he ponders a lot and sits and really thinks about things. And Paul probably gives the greatest thing ever. I want to read verse 9 for you again. He says, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you." Will you allow me to be confessional one more time? I don't get everything right. I don't get everything right. I can't do in a normal week everything that everybody thinks the pastor should do. Can't do it. There's not enough time in the week. But I can tell you this. I try to do my best to live the way that God wants me to live so that you can see an example of how you should live. That's one of the reasons I live the life that I live. There is not a single thing that I do that I don't think you can do. Some of you are going to tell me, "Well, I can't preach or teach." You know what? I think you can. I guess you can call me silly if you want to, but I think you can. Because some of you have raised some wonderful children. Somebody must have preached to them and taught to them. And those of you that are mothers, if you tell me you can't preach, I want to go talk to your children. Because I'm pretty sure they're, "Oh, yeah, she can preach." Folks, I want to tell you, do the same things you see me do. Live life to the fullest. Live life with excitement, not with a frown on your face. Live life with fun and laughter. Live life in a way that it encourages other people. Bring to Jesus Christ to other people. Bring Jesus Christ right into other people's lives. Like I said, I can't get everything right. And I probably never will until I get to heaven. And I'm not even sure I'll be able to get it right then. Because I truly think we will still learn when we go to heaven. I don't think we're going to be perfect when we get to heaven. Because when we do, when we live the way that God wants, the God of peace walks the journey with us. Do you not hear what Paul says? "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you." Amen? Or let's do it Wednesday night style, huh? Instead of saying amen, what should we say? May it be so. That's translating that Hebrew word. Okay, amen is not a formula to add to the end of your prayers. And if I say amen, God hears it and God's going to take care of it. Amen is a Hebrew word that just says, may it be so. Can you take some time to ponder? Do you ponder? And do you put into practice your pondering? Do you ponder? And do you put into practice your pondering? Let's pray. Lord, there are so many things in this life. There's so much going on, and we live in a world of information overload. Teach us how just every day to take one piece of information and to ponder it, to spend some time thinking about it, to spend some time to find the truth and the lovely and the admirable in the midst of that, the pure. And then, Lord, please help us to find a way to put that into practice so that we can experience the God of peace walking our daily journey with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.